Good day. My name is Maureen. I'll be reading the Iroquois Times Republic for the week of January 2nd, 2025, and a Happy New Year to all of our listeners. The first front page article is titled Good Citizen Award Winners Honored in Iroquois County. Recently, Princess Waukee Chapter National Society Daughters of the American Revolution and Governor Joseph Bartholomew of the National Society Sons of the American Revolution honored the chapter's selection for Good Citizen Awards. The joint award assembly took place December 13th in the Fellowship Hall of St. John Lutheran Church in Schwer. The national anthem was sung by DAR winner Anna Winkle. Good Citizen Awards are awarded to members of the senior class at local high schools. Criteria for the honor is dependability, service, leadership, and participation. Each winner receives a pin and certificate. One DAR winner is chosen to be judged at the district level, making them eligible for a scholarship. This year's Good Citizen selected to go on to district judging is Maya McKev, who attends Watsika Community High School. The DAR Good Citizen Award winners were Kinley Van Hovland, Jocelyn Levicka, Anna Winkle, Julia Edelman, Maya McKev, Braden Kleon. The DAR Good Citizen Awards were presented by Regent Nita Benner and DAR Good Citizen Committee Chairman Connie Gulquist. The SAR Good Citizen Award winners were Jake Kocher, James Newell, Gage Vogel, Keegan Reed, Ava Carlson, Madison Smith. Present for the SAR presentation of awards were Jake Cummins, president of NSSAR, Dr. Albert Day, and an SAR member, Jay Herman. Christina Lee Smith, historian and history instructor at Kankakee Community College, gave a PowerPoint presentation on Abraham Lincoln. DAR and SAR are lineage organizations open to anyone who can document an ancestor, male or female, aided in the cause of American independence through military, civil, or patriotic service. The next headline article, more than 82,000 deer harvested during Illinois firearm deer season. Hunters in Illinois took a preliminary total of 82,496 deer during the seven-day Illinois firearm deer season that concluded December 8th. According to information from the state of Illinois, comparatively, hunters harvested 76,494 deer during the previous season. The preliminary harvest for the second segment of the 2024 firearm season was 27,835 compared to 22,000 some deer harvested in 2023 in that part. Preliminary harvest for the first segment of this year's firearm season, November 22nd to 24th, was 54,661. Archery deer season continues through January 19th. Final article on the front page is regarding football. While the 2024 football season is over for high school and winding down to the college and professional levels, the sport continues to have followers at all levels. 2024 also brought a milestone for the 1974 Watsika Warriors football team, as the 50th anniversary of that team's Final Four season was that year. Carrie Bell of Watsika was a member of that team and provided some recaps of games and also spoke about the season. He said a number of newspapers and other media covered the teams, including the Times Republic, Daily Journal, Commercial News, Chicago Daily News, and more. The team was awarded the Watsika Community High School Athletic Inspiration Award in 2021. 1974 was the first year of the Illinois High School Association football players. Coach Gordon McKenzie worked tirelessly to get football playoffs started in Illinois, he said. There were five classes in the state for football, with schools ranked on size. There were 16 teams in each class, and teams had to win their conference title to be in the playoffs. Watsika was in the Watsika conference and went undefeated in that conference year. The team had 55 players on varsity. He said, "We had a lot of depth. Only four players started and played both offense and defense. The defensive line was big, averaging 6'3", 260 pounds. Some members noted were Ed Dean, Wally Swanson, David Mitchell, and John Cross. The season ended with semifinal state playoffs at Decatur St. Teresa. The Warriors ended their season with a 10-2 record. Short paragraph about Food from the Heart. It served 400 families in Iroquois County December 21st. According to information provided, the organization was started 15 years ago by the Ministerial Association of Watsika. The first year was 2009, in which 35 baskets were distributed at the Christmas season. Most of those were donated. The next year, the number of baskets increased to 100. Throughout the years, the budget has increased thanks to generous donations from churches, individuals, businesses, and organizations, making it possible for more than 400 baskets provided this year. The Christmas baskets are still prepared with the original purpose of serving neighbors in need throughout Iroquois County, hence the name Food from the Heart. The Crescent City Historical Society's Christmas Open House featured a variety of nativity scenes. The event took place Sunday, December 1st at City Hall, with a nativity scene set up on the first floor table. Guests enjoyed refreshments while reminiscing with others. There were many displays set up on the second floor area featuring old photos, items of interest, and displays such as old hair salons and barber shops, which used to be in Crescent City. CCHS had a sheet available which explained the nativity scene. It was Francis of Assisi, a friar known today as St. Francis, who introduced the first recreation of the nativity scene. This took place in the year 1223 in the town of Greccio, Italy. It seemed St. Francis was concerned the basic aspects of the Christmas story weren't fully understood or appreciated by most people. St. Francis, with assistance from a wealthy patron, assembled the necessary items to set up a scene so people would have a better understanding and grasp the significance of the event. The friar's scene included a life-sized figure of the Christ child, live animals, a manger, and straw. His friends were asked to assume the roles of Mary, Joseph, shepherds, and the three kings. It is said worshippers flocked to this first nativity scene. It became an annual tradition during the Christmas season, set up not only in communities and churches, but in homes all over the world. The nativity scene is known by a number of names throughout the world. In Italy, it is known as the Presepe, P-R-A-E-S-E-P-E. In France, it's called the Creche, C-R-E-C-H-E. And in Germany, the Crepe, K-R-I-P-P-E. Spain, Nascimiento. And in Bavarian regions, it's called the Putz, P-U-T-Z. The nativity scene results in a deeper appreciation of the birth of the Christ child. On hand at this open house was the annual What Is It item. Guests were invited to write down their guesses. There were 9 correct identifications entered. The Milford Area Public School District is proud to announce that it has been selected as a recipient of the AASA Sourcewell Helping Kids Mini Grant. According to information provided, since 2012, Sourcewell and AASA have joined forces to carry out the Helping Kids Mini Grant program, providing funds to more than 100 school systems to address the urgent needs of district families and students. This year, our district utilized this generous funding to invest in infrastructure improvements by purchasing additional security cameras for our schools, said the superintendent, John Klaber. These upgrades reflect our unwavering commitment to creating a safe and secure learning environment, ensuring students and staff can focus on achieving their best. We are grateful to AASA and Sourcewell for their support, which enables us to prioritize both safety and education. This grant underscores the power of partnerships in meeting the needs of our students and community. Thank you to everyone involved in making this initiative a reality. Together, we continue to build the extraordinary. The Illinois Extension Master Gardener Program has developed a strong group of dedicated volunteers who've significantly contributed to their communities through horticulture education outreach since its inception in 1975. According to information provided, more than 2,000 active volunteers invest their time and talents in cultivating gardens that feed and support healthy communities, foster hands-on learning, and support the environment. In 2023 alone, over 2,000 active volunteers invested 165,000+ hours of service to improve the well-being of their environment and those living there. As the program marks 50 years of impact, Master Gardeners continue to uphold their mission of helping others learn to grow. In celebration of this golden milestone in 2025, Extension will offer local and regional events, starting with training a new class of volunteers. Ryan Panko, U of I horticulture educator, stated, "We are excited to welcome this next Master Gardeners class. These dedicated volunteers play a crucial role in educating the public about sustainable gardening practices and beautifying our communities. Their enthusiasm and expertise are invaluable assets to our program." Master Gardeners undergo rigorous training to become knowledgeable and skilled in various aspects of horticulture. They actively engage in community outreach, providing educational programs, answering gardening questions, and volunteering at local gardens and events. The program offers flexible training options to accommodate diverse schedules and learning styles. You can immerse yourself in a traditional classroom with expert instructors and hands-on experiences. Learn at your own pace through a self-guided online course supplemented by in-person events and activities, or combine the best of both worlds with a hybrid approach. Rooted in a legacy of education, environmental stewardship, and the development of impactful gardening projects, Illinois Extension Master Gardeners are committed to answering the call for gardening knowledge in Illinois. There is one obituary in this week's paper. Jeffrey Gajewski, G-A-J-E-W-S-K-I, of Watsika, passed away December 24th. A visitation was held on Thursday, January 2nd, from 2 to 9, at Brust Funeral Home in Lombard. On Friday, there will be a visitation at 9 a.m. until the time of funeral at 9:30, and a 10 a.m. Mass at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Lombard. Interment will follow at Resurrection Cemetery in Justice, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, donations in Jeffrey's memory may be made to the American Cancer Society. Area caregivers are invited to the Caregiver Support Group hosted on Wednesday, January 8th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center in Bourbonnais. According to information provided, family caregiving is both a noble and challenging endeavor. Uplifted Care understands the ups and downs of caregiving and offers our caregivers support group, designed to provide support, understanding, and expert advice each month. The topic of discussion will be the importance of nutrition and tips on how this can be accomplished with everyday items in your home. Light lunch and refreshments will be served. Please RSVP to this event by calling 815-939-4141. All women veterans are welcome to attend the Women's Vet-to-Vet Cafe on Wednesday, January 8th from 10 to 12. Women will have the opportunity to meet other women veterans, share stories, access resources, and make new connections. Coffee and light snacks are provided. All veterans are invited to the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center to attend the Vet-to-Vet Cafe from 9 to 11 on Wednesday, January 15th. Veterans have the opportunity to meet other community veterans, share stories, access resources, and make new connections. A grief workshop titled Beating the Winter Blues will be held on January 18th from 10 to 11:30 at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center in Bourbonnais. The cold winter months contribute to isolation can be especially difficult for those struggling with grief emotions. Beating the Winter Blues workshop is intended for individuals 12 and over and will focus on dealing with winter sadness due to grief. Participants will learn some valuable techniques such as meditation, self-care, and refocus to help them feel brighter during the cold, dark months of winter. All workshop materials and light refreshments will be provided. Registration is required to attend. The Uplifted Care Community Grief Center offers something for everyone at any age and stage of their grief journey. All services are completely free of charge and are held weekly unless noted. A young man from Paxton, Ephraim Johnson, was named among the students who qualified for Belmont University Fall's 2024 Dean's List. Belmont University recently released the list for the Fall 24 semester. The university's provost, Dr. David Gregory, stated that earning a place on the Dean's List is an accomplishment that reflects dedication, talent, and resilience of our students who maintain competitive GPAs while concurrently making lasting contributions. The eligibility is based on a minimum course load of 12 hours and a quality grade point average of 3.5. An announcement from Lakeview College of Nursing honored a student and faculty member with a DAISY Award during the college's Fall Research Day. Paige Hennessy from Gibson City and Crystal Henry, an LCN faculty member from Danville, were presented with the awards. According to information from the college, Hennessy, a student from the college's Danville location, was recognized for caring about others and prompting those she knows to get involved. According to Jessica Warren, an LCN student who nominated her for the award, said, "When she sees or hears of someone struggling, her first thought is, 'What can I do to help?' and then gets everyone else involved to help." Warren explained that when a fellow classmate lost a loved one, Paige organized a collection for this student to provide comfort and financial relief. She also organized a birthday breakfast for one of her instructors and shared academic resources with her peers. Paige is one of those people who is always making others laugh and lifting up those around her. She is an amazing person and deserves this award. The faculty recipient of the DAISY Award, Henry, has been a faculty member of Lakeview since 22. The nomination for her described her as caring, empathetic, and someone who puts others first. According to Gina Brassard, the faculty member who nominated her, Crystal Henry has demonstrated an exceptional ability to connect with students, creating a supportive and engaging learning environment. Hennessy and Henry received a DAISY Award certificate, pin, and a Healer's Touch sculpture. There's an article about Decker's auction. 2 seconds into a conversation with Bill Decker, his profession becomes obvious. His booming yet comfortable voice is a dead giveaway, shouting auctioneer. The 76-year-old is the third-generation operator of the longest-tenured family auction house in the state. In 1945, his grandfather Glenn and his father Don opened Decker's Livestock in Milford, a community of now 1,114. In 2025, the company will celebrate 80 years in business, and Bill plans to keep going. He said, "If I have my health, I'm going to stay busy. It's our 80th year, and we hope to be here for longer. That is for sure. It's become a way of life with benefits both because of work and friends." He says, "You have got to enjoy what you're doing. In my business, 99.9% of the people are good people to do business with." Decker joined the family business in 1971 with his run spanning parts of 6 decades so far. Glenn Decker wanted to be an auctioneer and went to train for the job in Iowa. He had been a farmer. When Don Decker graduated from high school in 1945, the company opened for business. Until about 25 years ago, the business sold up to a million, 1,500 feeder pigs every week. Whoa. But the hog market became less profitable, and many of the pig farmers left the business. Decker's Livestock sells cattle at a steady pace, with customers coming from as far as 100 miles away. During Bill Decker's days, 10 other nearby livestock auctions have been closed. "We have a lot of loyal customers. It's one reason we're in business so long. I think a lot of people depend on our reliability. They know him and trust him. Some families I've done business with for 4 generations. Auctioneering's just in our blood." The Decker's Livestock Building is in its third iteration. The first was replaced in 1950. That facility burned down in 1954, and the current structure went up on Hamilton Street. We rebuilt in short order. You can't miss it thanks to a steer on the company sign. The building includes offices and a livestock arena. Decker said about 100 to 500 head come through in a typical week. He helps out in the community, serving as the voice of the Bearcats public address announcer for Milford High School football games for 20 years. Over the years, his company has donated its auctioneering services for different local events, including helping the FFA. Also, a local church has held fundraisers for worldwide disasters, with Decker lending his talents there for more than 3 decades. Decker and his wife Linda have been married for 42 years. While he grew up in Milford, she is from Watseka. Linda worked at Milford Schools for 35 years. She's an Eastern Illinois University graduate in education who earned her master's from the U of I. The Deckers have 3 grown daughters, Kristen, Marcy, and Laura, and 3 grandchildren. You can check out one of those grandchildren getting an auctioneer lesson from Grandpa on Facebook. It is priceless. The U of I Extension is offering a program to help older adults connect. More than 20% of adults in the United States experience social isolation or loneliness, according to recent studies. These feelings can significantly impact a person's well-being, especially older adults. U of I Extension Family Life, in partnership with Family Service Center, is offering a free program called Don't Go It Alone, Improving Your Social Connections, to help individuals address these challenges. Emily Harmon, a family life educator, says social isolation and loneliness can be detrimental to health and happiness. This program offers a chance to learn more about these issues, develop strategies for staying connected, and explore resources available in your community. Social isolation is the lack of social contact with others. While some people enjoy solitude, social isolation can lead to a variety of health issues like high blood pressure, dementia, or Alzheimer's disease. This free program will cover what social isolation is and why it is such an issue. Then, during the program, we will help you develop a plan for your own social connectedness. The program will be held at 6 locations. I'm going to just list those. Champaign, Danville, Gibson City, Watseka, Monticello. For further information regarding this, either visit the website go.illinois.edu/don't-go-it-alone or call 217-333-7672. In the health section, there's an article regarding winter illnesses. It doesn't take much for cold and flu symptoms to take over. Even a mild case of the sniffles can make it difficult to navigate the demands of everyday life. It's virtually impossible to avoid germs altogether, but you can make sure you're ready to fight infection, whether it's a minor cold or a full-blown case of the flu. Dr. Tim Tatione, board-certified internal medicine physician, says, "I always share a few easy and simple methods with my patients when cold and flu season comes back around to keep them in the best shape. Not only does getting ahead offer protection, but knowing what to do when symptoms start to come on and what to have in your medicine cabinet can help ease the burden of an oncoming illness. Preparation and prevention play important roles before a bug hits, but it's also valuable to know how to treat an illness and keep your loved ones from getting sick. Short of stashing yourself away in a bubble, there are not many fail-safe ways to prevent or fully avoid germs. However, some basic hygiene and preventive care can go a long way toward minimizing your risk. Regularly washing your hands can help get rid of germs before you accidentally introduce them to your eyes, mouth, or nose. Be especially diligent after spending time in crowded places. Maintaining an overall healthy lifestyle also helps ensure that you're in optimal condition if you do get sick. That means eating a nutritious, well-rounded diet and keeping up with your exercise routine. Be sure to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about getting a flu shot. While it may not fully prevent you from getting sick, in most cases, it helps your body fight back and keeps your symptoms manageable. Knowing you can't completely eliminate your exposure to germs, it's a good idea to ensure you have everything you need to fight a cold or flu on hand. At least once a year, give your medicine cabinet a thorough cleaning, discard any expired medications, and replace products that have run low, especially those designed to help fight symptoms like pain relievers, fever reducers, decongestants, antihistamines, and cough syrups. It's a good time to restock items like tissues, cough drops, hand sanitizer, and antibacterial soap. Medical supplies like thermometers and humidifiers also come in handy when you're under the weather. Check to be sure yours are in good working order and consider adding any supplies you don't already have, such as a blood pressure cuff or home oximeter. Once you're sick, sleep is one of the best remedies. Your body can redirect energy toward healing when you're sleeping, which helps boost your immune system, so give yourself permission to rest when you're feeling down. In addition to getting enough rest, it's important to treat your symptoms, not just mask them, because symptoms like fever, runny nose, chest congestion only mask the symptoms. Many doctors recommend an option like Mucinex 12-Hour because it treats the cause of chest congestion by thinning and loosening mucus. One dose lasts up to 12 hours, helping you clear mucus and relieve chest congestion. Getting rest and managing your symptoms are easier when you stay at home, but it's also the best way to prevent spreading germs to others. It is not always practical, but if you can, limit yourself to one area of the house away from family members. Cough into your elbow or a tissue, never your hands. Use antibacterial hand sanitizer and wipe down surfaces to minimize others' contact with your germs. Be especially wary of spending time with anyone who has a compromised immune system while you're contagious, including those with pre-existing conditions, older adults, and pregnant women. Take advantage of delivery or curbside services for essentials like groceries. Talk with your employer about working remotely or using sick time until you're feeling better. If you're experiencing cold symptoms, you might wonder when it's appropriate to see a doctor for further evaluation. While most colds resolve on their own within a week or two, there are certain instances when seeking medical attention is advisable. A high fever, if it persists for more than 3 days, reaches over 102, you should consult with a healthcare provider. If you experience persistent or severe headaches that are not alleviated by over-the-counter medications, that would be a reason to consult with a healthcare provider. If your symptoms worsen or do not improve after a week, if you experience uncommon or concerning symptoms during a cold, such as extreme fatigue, confusion, dehydration, or a fever that does not respond to treatment, that should be consulted. Difficulty breathing, chest pain, or wheezing can indicate a more severe respiratory condition and warrant immediate medical attention. For individuals at high risk of complications from cold, such as pregnant women, the elderly, or individuals with conditions like diabetes or heart disease, it is important to seek advice early to prevent any potential complications. Remember, your healthcare provider can offer guidance tailored to your specific situation, helping you manage your cold effectively and ensure optimal recovery. In closing, I'll mention that there's a fairly lengthy article about a dairy guide to healthy lifestyle that mentions health benefits of different dairy products and provides some recipes and ideas for healthy eating of dairy products. This might be something someone can look up if you're interested in that. Otherwise, this completes reading this week's edition of the Iroquois County Times-Republic for January 2nd. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week and have a good start to the new year. Thank you so much for being a listener.